Ladies and gentlemen, very good afternoon to you all, and thank you for joining us today for HPL Electric and Power Limited's Q1 FY27 earnings webinar produced by Elevees. I'm Shankhini, I'm the Director of Investor Relations from Dickenson, and I'll be moderating our call today. Great. So joining us from the HPL management team is Mr. Gautam Seth. He's the Joint Managing Director and CFO. So before we start, please note that this conference is being recorded and that some statements in this call may be forward-looking, subject to current expectations and to risks that could cause results to differ materially. You can also download HPL's investor presentation and press release from the company website or the NSE. Perfect. So I'll now hand over to you, Gautam, to begin with opening remarks.
Thank you, Shankhini. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Q1 FY27 has been a strong start for the year for HPL Electric. Revenue from operations grew 35% year-on-year to 515 crores, our highest ever first quarter revenue, and remained above 500 crore level despite Q1 typically being a seasonally lighter quarter. EBITDA grew 9% to 63 crores, while PAT increased to 19 crores. More importantly, the quarter further strengthens the two-engine growth model we discussed in FY26. Consumer and industrial is scaling as a faster cycle, product and channel-led platform, while smart metering continues to provide long cycle growth and order book visibility. Together, these businesses are giving HPL Electric a broader and more balanced growth base. Consumer and industrial delivered its highest ever quarterly revenue of 278 crores, growing 55% year on year, and contributed approximately 54% of the revenue during the quarter. The important point for us is not simply that C&I has become larger, it is that growth is becoming broader across various product baskets. Wire and cable continues its strong momentum, with revenue growing 79% to 146 crores. Demand remains diversified across builders, industrial OEMs, solar, telecom, retail, and institutional customers. The business has already achieved more than 40% of its full FY26 revenue in the first quarter, and we continue to see increasing evidence of volume-led scale. We are also seeing encouraging participation from other C&I categories. Lighting grew 78% to 56 crores. Industrial switchgear grew 19%. The breadth is important because our objective is to build C&I as a diversified electrical product platform rather than depend on any single category for growth. Our distribution platform remains central to this strategy. HPL Electric today reaches the market through more than 900 authorized dealers and over 85,000 retailers. As the product basket becomes stronger across wires and cables, switchgears, lighting, fans, and other categories, we have an opportunity to drive greater reach through an established network while continuing to invest in products, brands, and channel relationships. At the same time, smart metering continues to be an important long-cycle growth engine. Metering and system grew close to 17% year-on-year to 234 crores. As the smart metering market matures, we are entering a more stable, execution-led phase with improving visibility and greater consistency in deployment and execution. Our order book stands at 3,200 crores as on 7th August 26, with metering and systems accounting for more than 96% of the total orders. This provides a strong medium-term visibility and allows us to remain focused on execution, technology, and service levels. On profitability, EBITDA grew during the quarter although EBITDA margins moderated to 12.26%. Cash profit increased by 21%. This reflected an input cost volatility, particularly across metals and industrial plastics due to the geographical disruptions together with the changing revenue mix. We have initiated pricing and product mix actions and remain focused on progressively improving margin quality as the year develops. Higher depreciation following our capacity investments also moderated the translation of operating growth into PAT. The broader direction remains clear. We want to scale both engines with quality and scale. In C&I, that means widening participation across product basket, strengthening channel productivity, and building scale in wire and cables, likewise for other products as well. In smart metering, it means disciplined execution of the order book, technology differentiation, and maintaining financial discipline. As we progress through FY 2027, our priorities remain growth with improving margin quality, working capital discipline, calibrated capacity utilization, and continued investment in R&D. Our objective is to convert the scale we are building today into sustainable earning growth and a stronger HPL on a longer term. On this note, let's open the floor for questions.
Thanks, Gautam. So before we start the Q&A session, just a quick reminder on how to raise your hand to join the question queue to ask questions. So if you're on desktop or laptop, look for the Reactions button at the bottom of your Zoom window. Click on it, then select Raise Hand from the options. Your name will appear on the queue, and I'll call on you. If you're on mobile or tablet, tap on the More dot 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 button at the bottom right of your screen, then select Raise Hand from the menu. Perfect. So we'll start with the first question that's come written in. So Gautam, this question is on the C&I segment. So we've seen some good progressive growth in the C&I segment for this quarter. Can you give us a breakdown product-wise on how you are seeing this progress in the next coming two quarters?
Yeah, so C&I has seen a growth for the last five quarters now, and each time the absolute value of sales and the percentage of growth are getting larger. So initially it started off more with the wire and cables, but now we are seeing the growth happening in switchgears. We are seeing it happening in lighting also. So overall, we are very confident of the growth, what is happening. There has been an expansion in the channel in terms of dealer, distributor, and more on the retail side, where the retailers are expanding and our products are also expanding in a bigger way. We have also, we have a concept of one consumer, one family, which encourages dealer and incentivizes them on taking more products and cross-selling more of the products within the same channel. So overall, the strategy seems to be working. The numbers are coming up not only in wire and cable, which again looks very strong in the next two quarters, but also we would see growth on the lighting. MCBs are set to grow, which is the complete range of final distribution product accessories, and also on switches. If you see our deck, in fact, last month we did launch of our new range, new generation switches of by the name of Cairo. So that is one segment again which we are looking to launch in a bigger way across Pan India. We have three more states launch lined up for August. So overall, the next two quarters seem to be pretty good for the C&I segment. We see a growth as well as a channel expansion going forward. We are also monitoring sales based on existing channels as well as the new channels. Sales are monitored separately just to ensure that the efforts of channel expansion are, you know, getting us the results. So there are a lot of changes what we have done within the team, within our strategy, and also on sales and marketing and the digital marketing as well. So to reach out to our consumers.
Thanks, Gautam. We'll take the next question from the line of Viraj Mahadevia. Hi, Viraj. You can go ahead and ask your questions.
Hi, Gautam. Congratulations on the fantastic growth in the business.
Thank you, Viraj.
To a new execution plane. But something that I noticed, which is highlighted in the deck, gross margins have compressed from 38% last year to 30%. And that was probably driven by the raw material inflation. So what steps is the company taking to ensure that we can get up to historical margins? Are you entering into hedging contracts going forward on the day you take the order? Because presumably these were legacy orders taken at a different price. And then when you actually go and buy the raw material, you face the price hike.
No, so, So if you look at the results and more importantly on the margins, the way we look at it, the revenue growth has been good. CNI, as you know, earlier we had talked about also in our last two, three calls, the momentum on CNI is building to a bigger level, and we see the growth going forward. Even the smart meter is, because last year sequentially we grew four quarters, even now from here on also we see the good growth coming in. Of course, more at a matured level, but again, both these segments are set for a good growth on a revenue point of view. Now, when we look at the margins, primarily there's a single point on the cost of materials that has gone up, and that has gone up mainly from February onwards because of the West Asia conflict, mostly on the geopolitical issues. So for that, we are looking at, there's a lot of work happening in our R&D, especially when we look at the smart metering where the contracts are fixed, the sales prices are fixed, and then the variable part is the cost factor. So we are having, of course, we have long-term contracts which protects us sometimes on the pricing. We also are looking at a couple of design changes, which is, of course, a continuous process, but sometimes driven by external factors, we take it in a bigger way. So there are ways to ensure that alternative materials can be used within the same specifications, even other than metering in the consumer and industrial also, a lot of work is going on alternate materials, alternate designs. Of course, these have to be, it takes time. Plus, the price increases are also getting passed on to the consumer. So like we've just had a couple of increases in the wire and cable. Of course, that is much more, the prices get passed on much more quicker than if you look at the switch gears and lighting. But even in lighting in the past quarter, we have seen certain increases happening, which have been first time in last, I think, 7-8 years, we have seen first time an increase happening in the lighting, because till now, historically, only the prices were going down. So the pass on in the consumer and industrial is possible, but with a time lag. So there are a couple of various things, I would say combination of them happening to ensure that we come back on the margins. And at the same time, we just hope that maybe these conflicts see some logical end in the next one or two quarters and maybe the prices cool down. But in the meantime, the teams, the supply chain teams are making full efforts to ensure that the margins are back. But if you look at the other things, the finance cost has come down in the next, even in absolute terms, in the last three quarters. Even the other expenses have been flat, though there has been a 35% increase in the top line. So there are a couple of positives. Although depreciation has gone up, and that is mainly because of the investments, the higher investments, what we have done in the last 2-3 years. So that has gone up. But overall, the cash profit is, there is a growth in cash profit. And the best thing is that because it's the start of the year, Q1 is typically, much slower. CNI also, it's the weakest quarter normally. So we have been able to get off to a good start. And the revenue visibility in both the segments, even in the near term, seems to be good. So I think we are all set for a good year in this year for sure.
Thanks, Gautam. So, I just checked, had you done the same level of gross margin as earlier on your delivered top line, your EBITDA margins would have been as high as 20-25%, right? So that's really the operating leverage kicking in on a normalized raw material cost basis. But when you take an order, do you fix the prices and the raw material inflation is not a pass-through? And normalizes with a lag of 1 quarter where you take the price increases in accordance with the raw materials? How does that work?
No, so you're talking specifically for meters or for
Meters, I guess.
yeah, so meters, you have to realize that the competitive scenario has been changing. The customers are, of course, buying repeatedly. The volumes are big, so certain prices have been coming down, and even historically, minus the specific this war situation happening, the prices also, the costs also have been coming down in the last 2 years. And even the end customers, because typically they are big AMI SPs, so they also understand the trends, what are happening. Now, here specifically, we have seen certain prices going up. So when we take an order, especially the semiconductors and certain critical electronic components, more on the active and the passive components, so those are typically we book them. And some of the supply, like the time period for supplies for certain semiconductors, are even going up to 52 weeks. So they anyway have to be booked in advance as we get them. But then the exchange rates are fluctuating. So there are some factors in it. But I would say, more or less, if you, because we have been reviewing the way our procurement systems are, so more or less we are well covered under that. The margins have been fairly good. So, but you will see that in this quarter, there's been almost a 3% drop in the margins on the metering side, which is mainly because of the sudden price hikes, especially on the industrial plastics, which have gone up and which are more crude dependent. Then the metals have gone up for sure. The copper is high, all the aluminiums, everything, almost every metal has been at a high. But I think these are things which are out of the control of anybody, but they cannot be hedged, because every time, so although we gain many times on the prices going down, but we also sometimes lose. But the critical parts are more or less covered, and which is the semiconductor and the ICs and everything. So those are typically covered at the time when the orders are received.
Understood. So going forward, will you be able to pass these on in
And,
terms of the new metering tenders?
yeah, for sure, because
Escalations
the metering tenders, prices are open, and even with the newer requirements what are coming, definitely, I think our teams are highlighting the price increases with the AMI SPs. But again, it's a competitive scenario. The customers are also, they understand it, but they also understand the value of having strong partners like us, who understand technology, who have consistency in supplies, in quality. And I think that is how it is emerging out. So maybe in future, definitely as a company, we would be hopeful that certain price increases would be given in the further orders as they are getting finalized. And we are already asking them and highlighting the same. But again, I said it's a competitive scenario, and it's a trade-off between for them going on, whether it's on getting some cheaper prices or going for a experienced partner like us. But one has to also understand that the competitive scenario on the smart metering is also changing. And it's personally my view, and the way I look at the market, that people, the AMI SPs, the bigger customers, they will understand the relevance of going with experienced players who understand technology, who have been, who are able to give products which actually are top in quality, which will work for the 10-year warranty period. So I think those type of benefits or perceived benefits, what are there, are definitely, I would say, we qualify for that. And that is going to definitely help us. It is helping us to get better pricing, better, more orders in future. So I think overall things should be good. So this could be a temporary, maybe 1 or 2 quarters, certain disruption on the pricing part, or the cost part could be there. But overall, the industry is steady, the demand is very strong, And the next 1-2 years, again, we should see a very good growth in the smart metering part.
Perfect. Thank you. I'll come back with more questions.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Thanks, Viraj. Our next question written in, Gautam, is more on the CNI wire and cables. So we've seen some really good growth in CNI wires and cables. What are we doing to invest more in the channel network and growing this segment? Is it sustainable for next quarter?
Yes, I think when we look at the wire and cable, we've been seeing an all-round growth because although there has been an increase in the commodity prices, but if you look at our specific growth numbers, Q4 was well over 80%, 78% in Q1. So the levels, even in terms of tonnage of copper, what we are using have really gone up. It's almost 1.5-2 times than what we were doing just a year back. So from the volumes have gone up, and we've seen an all-round growth, whether it is in the solar part, in industrial, in real estate, and retail for that matter. So what you are talking about, the channel part, when we look at the retailer, dealer, distributor network, so that has been growing. And while this is happening, so this is really growing, and we are also investing a lot into the into BTL marketing. We are also doing a lot of activities at the last mile sales front. Supporting this whole concept, we also have our the last mile sales team, which is the third party manpower, what we say, which has a beat plan going into each and every retail market. So there has been it's a combination of a lot of things. And definitely it's sustainable. In fact, not only sustainable, you will see growth on the retail front happening not only in this quarter, but as we go forward also, it's a long-term expansion ultimately what we are looking at. Since when we look at the way we have seen the growth in the next in the last 5 quarters, so that definitely gives us certain, we are also filled with enthusiasm when we look at it. And now the strategies are much more stronger, not only to grow the wire and cable, but also to put all HPL consumer products in a basket, whether they are switch, lighting, fans, wires, all together into the retail network. So I think we are definitely seeing certain interesting times, and the consumer and industrial will see a growth as we go forward. Yeah.
Thanks, Gautam. We'll take the next question from Kunal Dubey. Hi, Kunal. You can go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, Gautam. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Gautam, great set of numbers. Congratulations. I had two questions, a follow-up from the previous participant. If I have been hearing con calls from Polycab buyers or KEI, the wire company, they see AI being the next big thing for cable demand and all. Your view in our CINI segment about the cable industry, you see we catering to that segment as of now, or any plans on that? Because that is one big thing which is there in every cable company's con call, is the first question that I...
Yeah, so by AI you mean is on the data centers?
Yes.
So we have studied those segments, so we are coming into certain certain new cables which would be more specific to the data centers. So we don't have the full range right now, and but hopefully by May, June of next year, we should be having those kind of cables with the international certifications what are required, because a lot of these data centers have international customers or international consultants, so they do require that. But that is a segment which we would definitely be looking at. Currently, looking at our existing product portfolio, we don't have the full range, so we are not focusing on that while we are focusing on many things. But that is one segment, and it's a long-term segment again. Next 5-10 years is going to see a huge growth in the data centers, even in India and globally as well. So I think we should be out with those products next year for sure.
Gautam, on the second question, which you just highlighted a couple of back, the EBITDA margins have dropped, but now what I understand, basis your commentary, you say that it will improve from this. It will not worsen off, right?
It yeah, should hopefully. Improve. I cannot comment on geopolitical things, but yes, hopefully, if that's the worst level we've reached, so we are making efforts to make sure that we go better from here, for sure. Yeah, but please, I think you still have some question left.
Yes, but my question was, like, if you see Q2 as such, the crude price was basically in the range of $80-$85 compared to Q1. So I see crude had come off a little from Q1. So my question is, like, I just want to understand, when you say you cannot assure, what is the lead time as such? What is your ordering? You order a couple of months in advance. How is the lead time as such you determine? Is there a lead time around it?
Yeah, there is. No, our lead times, because we have proper standard suppliers of PVC, plastics and all, and some of them are international suppliers. So the lead time could be anywhere between 15 days to even 2 months, you know, because some of the, especially the polycarbonates, are all imported. So they could have up to 2 months because they come in containers from outside. But the local suppliers are typically, you know, 10-15 days is the time. And they're all very large suppliers in the country.
Okay.
So that is it. But, no, I think there's some...
For now, there's some background noise. Rikesh, you can keep yourself on mute while Gautam is answering.
Yeah, Kunal, can you just mute?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is it. But typically, the crude would have direct impact on the inputs, what go into it. So let's say for a PVC, the resin or the DOP or those things have a direct impact, and probably those impacts will come into the PVC in next 30-50 days. So, you know, it's not that if crude goes down today that the price would become cheaper, and similarly when it goes up. I guess there is a typical time lag. So I will not know too much on their supply chain, how it happens, but it takes a time for things to go up and as well as come down when you look at the industrial plastics.
That's it, Gautam, from my side. I wish you the very best. Thank you for your time once again.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kunal. Our next question will be from the line of Chandresh Malpani. Hi, Chandresh. You can go ahead and ask your questions.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So my first question is on the, you know, like since you mentioned in your last phone call that Adani is our, you know, bigger customer. So sir, since Adani, you know, acquiring IntelliSmart now, and also there are news that he's going to acquire an OEM which will have a meter manufacturing capacity. So how are you seeing this overall, you know, scenario with, you know, the biggest MISP? Is there a threat, you know, where he will acquire a player, and the quantum of orders that, you know, HPL is going to cater in the future would have some impact, or your view on this?
Yeah, so on the first part of news that they have acquired IntelliSmart, I think that has been a very positive for us, because we were preferred vendors and approved in both of them. So I think that consolidates our position with them as a combined entity. So I think that is good. That's been very, very positive for us. So that is it. On the second part of them buying, okay, it's a news right now. I'm not sure how that is going to do it. So, but, you know, we are right now with every independent AMISP. And so anybody, so our business is pretty spread out. And so we're not dependent on one or two just AMISPs for our business volumes. So that is it. So as the business, let's also hope and see how that really closes. But I won't be able to comment more on the second part of your question.
Okay, got it, sir. But directionally, let's say if Dani was, you know, in 3 or 6 months, he was in a process to acquire a player. So how has in our ordering with them, like, has it been steady state? Or I'm not asking absolute numbers, but just a directional view you can give, because our order book has remained more or less around 3,000 odd crore rupees in smart metering since last 4-5 quarters, I guess. So just directionally, you can help us understand.
Yeah, so if you see, the order flow is continuous, but I've said it even 2-3 years back that the time of big orders is from the AMISP. So what you have to understand is that a lot of, let's say, you talked about one AMISP. So maybe, let's say, they're sitting on 4 crores of orders or 5 crores of meter orders. So they are not going to give away. The ordering now process is like any regular business, which is typically given out based on requirements which they see, specific requirements which they see in the next 3-4 months. You know, it's not going to be the next 2-3 year requirements are given to one player and locking the price. So it's not going to be like that now. That is how, when an industry matures, that is how it is going to see. There we stand to gain more on that in the way the current process is, because our product speaks for itself, our technology speaks for itself, and the more we are supplying with more AMISPs, the more we are getting preferred. And the way I see the disruption in the next 2 years, I would definitely see a bigger consolidation happening even at meter manufacturer level. The bigger and established players who are consistent with quality and technology stand to definitely gain out of that. And sometimes the not so focused players or certain smaller players may definitely leave out of the industry or may not grow the way they are looking to grow. So there is already certain level of consolidation happening at a meter manufacturer level, and I think our quality and technology speaks for itself, and that is going to get us the further business. So the more repeat orders are there, the more AMISPs become strengthened here. And I think the volumes are large. It's a huge game. No company can today look at only one supplier and work based on that. So this is just how I look at the market. So I think that's how the competitive scenario is. But we definitely are at an advantage right now, and our teams are really working hard to make sure we keep those advantages with us as we go forward.
Okay, that was helpful, sir. And second question is on the overall industry-wide tendering and execution. So there's, no meaningful tenders that have come into the market. So what is your view? Because Tamil Nadu has also halted their tenders. So what's your overall view? Because in your earlier mention, you mentioned that how the ordering flows. If AMISP is sitting with a 4 crore meter order, so how this will flow? So on the first part is the tendering part, and second, the execution. I think in Q1, the execution at the country level has gone down. So how are you seeing this year comparative to FY26?
No, if you look at the figures, what are there in the public domain, I think almost 7 crore meters are right now installed as we talk today, because it was 6.9, the last official figure. So I think there is no, it's a continuous process that is happening. And for us to, we are dependent, we are a meter supplier. So if there are AMISP tenders coming out or no, that does not affect us, because there is enough orders already finalized on AMISPs which can take care of our requirements, our future growth in a very aggressive manner the next 2-3 years. So I think it doesn't bother us. Already we are sitting on large orders. There are a lot of orders still the AMISPs are holding for themselves. So right now the pipeline is very strong as far as we are concerned. What you're talking about, tenders not coming out or maybe slow, but I'm not so aware of that. But that is more for an AMISP to think for them. But if you look at the overall number given out by the ministry, so a large part of the first phase of installation of 25 crore meters have already been tendered out. So I think that's a cycle by the industry. So that does not bother us, even if you look at the next 3-4 years. There is enough volume still available for a meter manufacturer like us here.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, one last question. I guess 2 years back, we signed an MOU with a Chinese player for a relay, local assembly and manufacturing of relay. So are we manufacturing relay, and how much captively are we doing it for our smart meter?
Yeah, so I think, one thing for sure that we are making efforts to, to ensure that we go into backward integration. Couple of components are identified, which, we would be directly or indirectly ensuring that they are available and they are, backward integrated into our processes. So as I have more information on this, currently I won't be able to share much on this particular transaction, but as we have something more, definitely things are in progress, there are some things happening, but as we have more information, we would be sharing it with that, yeah, with you all of you for sure.
Okay, but currently we are not having a manufacturing setup, right?
No, not as on today. Okay. But yes, there are, in a different, the way we structure the thing, that's how we are working on that. But there is work on the particular components, work on the technologies going on definitely.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. So Gautam, we'll take another written question. So this question is pertaining to margins again. The question is, are we looking at any backward integration in order to de-risk from supply chain disruptions?
Yes, so as far as possible, if you see HPL, historically, if you look at even the last 25 years, every of our product division, we have 7 factories, all of them are very well backward integration. So while we are into switchgears, lighting, wire cable, metering, if you see, we are very strong on right from tool rooms. We have 3 tool rooms. We have over 100 injection molding machines. So entire industrial plastic manufacturing is very well backward integrated. We have electronic manufacturing, which is very large. In fact, just 2 years back, we expanded that to a totally international level in terms of quality and scale. The sheet metal is again very well backward integrated. So most of the critical components, whether they are copper or sheet metal, are manufactured in-house. That ensures not only a supply chain continuity, it ensures quality, it ensures that the right pricing is happening. So that is a underlying philosophy of HPL, where we have always been very well into manufacturing and backward integrated manufacturing. Now, coming to your question, I think it's more because of the metering part, what we were talking in the earlier question. So here also, if you look at the existing metering, many of the components are today all manufactured in-house, which are regular. Now, when we look at these relays or some of the critical components, which till now were not being manufactured in India, so with the government also has been giving directives on ensuring that the maximum components of smart metering need to be made in India. So we have also been making efforts, conscious efforts, to ensure that these are to be made in India. So I think you will hear from us as we, because these are highly technical products. They are long, they have a long drawn process of ensuring the specific machines are coming in and all. So certain actions have been taken, but as we come close, as we have more material information, definitely we will be sharing it.
Thanks, Gautam. We'll take another written question. So the question is, could you share some details on R&D, especially on the switchgear side? Which new products are we looking at to launch this year? How are our new products like ATS 370, 390, and ACB accepted in the market in comparison to big companies?
Yeah, so like we have our metering R&D, where we have 170 people working in the metering R&D. Even switchgear R&D has now become much more bigger and meaningful, and we are working on new products. There have been what the products on ATS, what you just mentioned, those are new products which have come out. If you see, since last couple of years, maybe last 20 years, we've been a market leader on the changeover segment. And the ATS is a natural progression in technology because, again, it does a similar function, but on a automatic basis. So the electronics, the controllers, what we have are new. So that's a growing segment for us. And this helps us to be abreast with technology. This is a much more global product launch, which we see to sell into many countries here. And this will help us to maintain our market share and our sales growth going forward. Yeah. Apart from that, we are also working on a lot of integration of electronics and communication into the existing switchgear. So those are, I would say, longer drawn projects which are there. But that's the future, and we would see in the future that a lot of work happening in panels, a lot of work happening with electronic integration. So those are projects which are ongoing right now, and you should see the results maybe in the next 2 to 3 years. Some immediately, but some could be much more longer drawn.
Thanks, Gautam. Another written question. So with EU FTA happening at any time, how are we positioned in terms of product certifications, channel partners to tap into this market? So with the EU FTA happening at any time, how are we positioned in terms of product certifications, channel partners to tap into this market?
Yeah, so even our current products, if you see, are most of the products, entire switchgear, a lot of even certain wire cables and others, are all already IEC compliant. So we have certain certificates, like our MCB is already DECRA certified. DECRA is again a European standard and a test house. So even our lab, even the lab in our factory is DECRA certified lab right now. So that entitles us to sell to almost 55 countries with the certification. So a lot of our products are compliant. They are already certified, but as we get more opportunities which are more country specific and which may require certain specific testing, so we can do that. Obviously, there is a cost and there is a time involved in each of them. But broadly, if you look at our switchgears, they are IEC compliant as per that. And even if you look at the Indian standards, most of the standards are today based on IEC. So I think that ensures that the compliances are already there.
Thanks, Gautam. We'll take the next question from the line of Ankur Gulati. Hi, Ankur. You can go ahead and ask your questions.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead, yes. Ankur.
Gautam, quick question. With the cost, raw material cost on the material side in the current order?
Can you be louder, Ankur, please?
Yeah. With the cost going up on the material side, should we now work with whatever EBIT margins we saw this quarter on the metering side? Is that the new baseline for current order?
Yeah, so, you know, on a conservative basis, on an immediate, let's say on a, this quarter, maybe that could be a much more conservative way, but although we are looking to improve our margins, but it could take some time, maybe another, an extra quarter more, but currently the levels what we are, I think that would be like a baseline right now for us to pursue, although efforts are there to increase, enhance them further.
And the new orders that you are bidding for on the metering side, they are coming in at what, 11 quarter plus whatever used to be the earlier threshold?
Yeah, so definitely we are pitching in. So, but as the new orders are coming in, they also have a lead time for supply. Like in the sense, orders if we receive today, maybe the supplies would start maybe in December, January, or even later to that. So there is certain lead time which would happen, you know, until they are pure repeat orders with similar specifications by AMISP. So right now, when we look at it, the margins have come down in metering, and it's more very specific to the geopolitical issue, but let's see. But even the actions what we are taking, they will have certain time lags, you know.
And on the CNSI, let's say by Q3, you guys will be able to get back to 11 plus margin.
Hopefully, we look at that. Because there, certain costs are getting passed on for sure, and certain changes we can do immediately. So until, let's assuming that, let's say the copper or these prices more or less remain at these levels, which are again high, but let's say even if they remain like this, it gives us a good window to improve our margins as we reach Q3. That is possible for sure.
Thanks, Ankur. We have some time for some more follow-up questions before we take a written question. We'll take our next follow-up from Viraj Mahadevia. Hi, Viraj. You can go ahead and ask your follow-up questions.
Hi, Gautam. Thanks for taking it. So, Gautam, with the current smart metering build-out, how many years do you think this goes on for? And is there a new wave of smart metering coming in terms of a new RDSS scheme? So is this a 3-year, a 5-year, a 10-year runway in terms of smart metering? And beyond that, what are the other growth vectors that you see coming in play, whether it's getting empaneled for smart metering supplies to Middle East, Africa, other such markets, or, you know, other growth engines?
Yeah, so I think it's a very long-term story. The smart meter 1.0, I think assuming in 6 years it gets over, thereafter you will see a 2.0 coming in for sure, and but maybe it will have a gradual replacement. So it may not be that, you know, the entire 25 crore meters is going to get replaced, because some of it is installed in the first, second, third year, and some of it could be in the fourth or the fifth year. So everything will not go into replacement at the same time. This is what I just believe that would happen. But for sure, the smart meter market is here to stay. We should see certain consolidation. And even the 2.0 will have a different level of technology, a different level of communication and all, which will be much more better. So you have to realize that while the 1.0, the smart metering is happening, a lot of factors of collecting data, ensuring that proper household data is actually available for installation, a lot of primary work is happening here. So when you see in the future, it is only going to be restricted more to replacing the old meter with the new meter. So the base work, jo hua hai, which is a very long-term thing, that is happening, which is going to be very good for the country as a whole, because the entire household data, the metering data is going to get compiled. It is going to be mapped. And thereafter, whenever they want to change the meter, it becomes much more easier. So I think that effort is actually, probably sometimes we find that there is some slowdown in the installation. It is only because a lot of primary data and coordination with the utilities is happening. But once that data comes on board, then to change and to enhance the let's say the technology, and also to use that to use the smart meter to its fullest capacity based on technology, also becomes much more meaningful in future. So smart meter is here to stay. It's not a 5-7 year, it's going to be even more, maybe 10-15 years, as long as we see electricity consumption and households using it. I guess that's going to be longer time. We are also in export, we are also looking at certifications. You just mentioned Middle East. One of the utilities in Middle East has just approved our metering. This is very recent. So already right. We are now moving to the international markets. Thanks to the scale and technology what we are using in India, that would actually make us eligible to go anywhere in the world and look at the smart metering opportunity. So as probably, you know, the Indian market matures, it gives us an opportunity to look out, which we already have started, and then that can be a very, very big opportunity going forward. You know, just picking up one or two first world countries also will really can take us to a different level for sure.
Fantastic. Good to hear. So basically the growth vectors are growing consumer and lighting wires and cables, mm-hmm. smart metering for the next 4 years, after that replacement demand within India and newer markets opening up.
Yes, and then if you see the global trend, which even we will follow, but you know, we need to make sure that we are better grounded in each part. like we've come out with, like typically international all metering companies are into electricity, water and gas. Right. Typically these are the three things like this. So we have come out with water meter. Now it will take some time while we get the approvals, while we stabilize on technology and then hit meaningful volumes on that. Probably gas can be the next one like this, because typically the technology, the measurement technologies, communication, electronics, a lot of it can be leveraged with the existing staff what we have.
So yeah, I think one of your competitors is quite bullish on gas, I think, Gautam.
Yeah, for sure. So eventually, that's a window we will be also looking at probably, but we have internally discussed it many times. But then again, I said that, as HPL, we are very clear that once any new category is launched, until we reach a meaningful, business size in that and other things, we just don't like to jump on the next one. You know, there are 10 things.
But
to
you
do.
Have the capability in gas to make these gas meters, or is it you need to acquire the technology or tie up with someone?
I would say when we look around, I think we would have the capability. But then there are, in today's time, we are very open on any partnership. So if any technology needs to be bought, or if somebody needs to do that, I think today with the way the businesses are structured and with our own strength, so I think anybody would, we can get the technology, we can buy the technology or even develop it in-house. So I think those options remain, but only thing is putting the business plan and together. But right now, with electricity going in a big way, and once that is maturing, then it gives us a window to look into the other part, which we've already taken a step on the water meter. So it will take time until we really establish that and get in the numbers over there.
Right. Great. One more question, Gautam, is regarding the cash flows and the CapEx. So now that presumably most of your CapEx is behind you, mm-hmm. to produce whatever 1.2, 1.4 crore smart meters annually, what is likely to be the CapEx in 27, 28, or 29? How do you see that playing out? Annual CapEx, maintenance plus any new CapEx?
No, so we would find maintenance CapEx because, tools and dies are a big CapEx point which get replenished, because there's right. a lot of injection molding items, even sheet metal going into that. So right now, I think from a metering perspective, it is going to be more on the maintenance part because we have the capacities now and they were right. necessary to bring us to the scale and the volumes and what we are looking at. But mm-hmm. there are, there's another, different projects we are working at, which may entail certain CapEx, but they would have a different revenue stream, maybe different categories or something like that. So I think as we have more information on that, we will definitely be giving out in public domain. And then, but whatever CapEx specifically would happen, they would have separate revenue streams coming forward for that.
Understood. So can we say 50 to 100 crores of CapEx for the next year or two? It shouldn't be more than that, right?
No, depending on the project. But as the time comes, you'll hear about it. But there will be definitely certain natural progression from our existing products. So it's not something totally out of the way. It is something which naturally will help us to grow, certain of the divisions or the segments. So as that comes out, we'll put that in the public domain, yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. All the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Viraj. We'll take the next follow-up from Chandresh Malpani. Hi, Chandresh. You can go ahead and ask your questions. Yeah, looks like he's busy. That's fine. So, before we wrap up, I think before I hand over to you, Gautam, for your closing remarks, I'd just like to let all our participants know that we'll keep you posted on any upcoming management interactions. We're planning something soon. So look forward to hosting you there. And I think, Gautam, if we have time, can I take one more question?
We have the time.
Okay, great. Hi, Dia. You can go ahead and ask your question.
So thank you for the opportunity. So how do we look at revenue and margins in the coming years, sir?
No, so So the revenue, if you see from both the segments, have a strong outlook. I will not put a specific number, but if you look at smart metering, they have a strong visibility. If you look at this year, next year, the next 3 to 5 years seem to be a strong visibility. We are sitting on orders. We are already preferred vendors to most of the AMISPs. So overall, the smart metering should see steady revenue growth, what we are seeing since the last 4 quarters. So that would happen. The only thing there, the pace of sales depends a lot on execution. So time and again, we have seen certain execution challenge, not faced by us, but by the AMISP. So typically, they are our customers. So it's dependent on that. But overall, with only 7 crore meters installed, a lot to go. So it's got a good revenue visibility. When you look at consumer and industrial, there I would say the next 12 to 18 months will be very strong. The cable and wire segment has been, we've been growing well above the, in fact, the volume growths are far exceeding even the value enhancements what we see due to the commodities. So that is it. So I think that momentum we are looking to maintain, of course, for a long term, but at least the visibility on the 12, 18 months, we see that. So that should be a high double-digit growth. And so hopefully you should see good revenue growths coming in the next couple of quarters here.
And can we go back to 16-17% margins if the Middle East situation eases?
Yes, I think if that happens, for sure, we can do that. But right now, these are out of our control. But whatever best we can do to still get back our margins, so already the teams are doing that. But yes, if the situation ends and let's say supply chain disruptions also come down and the crude comes down, so definitely that will definitely help us to resume and come back to the margins what we've been making here. And in fact, why come back? Even look to grow those margins as the, especially if you look at CNI with the volume growth also happening, so that also will give us certain triggers of that. So one more point on the, if you see on the margin front, which somehow that's missed out, is that there have been, if you look at the manpower cost, so especially in Haryana, one has seen that there has been almost a 40% increase in the minimum wages by the Haryana government in May. So, and since most of our manufacturing is there, so that has also added to the cost on this. But even I think the other neighboring states of UP and others have also gone into that. So that's also one of the factors where the manpower cost has gone up quite drastically in the first quarter, if you see. But overall, we are aware of this thing, and with the volumes and the, once the revenues are growing in a good manner, it gives us a lot of opportunity and window to ensure that the costs are at a minimum level and the margins are there. So I think we are working towards that, and let's hope that this geopolitical situation eases out.
Okay, sir. Understood. And the order book of 3,000 crores, it's 90% from smart meters, right?
Because consumer and industrial does not have long orders like that. So those orders are coming month on month, But now they are also becoming substantial because typically we are on a month-to-month basis reaching either highest order books or highest sales. So I think that momentum is there, but they will never, ever have very large orders just sitting on the books,
And when can we expect the execution of these smart meter orders?
Typically, 1.5, 2 years they should get executed. But again, sometimes, typically they should get executed. But only it's the execution speed also matters. But normally the visibility would be 2 years, let's say.
And any major CapEx that we are planning?
CapEx, no. In the let's say in the metering and existing product categories, it's mainly the maintenance CapEx. Which also sometimes because of the tools, dies and others, that gets substantial. Plus, there is a lot of work on automation happening. And so recently we just commissioned a new machine especially for MCBs, which is the single machine does the work of 44 workers, and these are machines which can work for 24 hours almost practically without any person there, manufacturing almost 18,000 MCBs. So I think these are good level international level automations what we are doing. So we just put in overall 7 to 8 machines in our factory. So there are a couple of lot of things, and now especially with the minimum wage going up in almost every state, so it would make a lot of sense to come into more automations, which we are looking at. And these typically machines have an ROI of 3 to 4 years. So that also it makes financial sense to actually invest and go into those.
That is great, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Yeah. Thank you, Diya.
Thanks, Diya. Thanks, Gautam. What we'll do now is hand over to you for closing remarks, and then we'll go ahead and close the call. Go ahead.
So thank you, everyone, for your questions and your continued interest in HPL Electric. Q1 FY27 reinforces our confidence in the direction of the company. Both growth engines are scaling. The business mix is broadening, and our focus is on converting the momentum into better margin quality, cash generation, and sustainable growth. We are also encouraged by the near-term outlook, with the coming quarters looking positive, and remain confident that the efforts underway across the business will increasingly translate into stronger operating performance. So have a good day ahead, and thank you for being part of HPL Electric's growth journey. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Gautam, and thanks to everybody for joining us today. For any more follow-up questions or requests on the numbers, please feel free to write to me on the email ID on the last page of the deck, and we'll be happy to answer you and also set up more interactions with Gautam and the management team as required. So once again, thanks for joining us this afternoon, and like Gautam said, being part of HPL's growth journey. We'll see all of you soon. Thank you, and have a great day ahead. Cheers.